When the phone rang and my son's name appeared in the caller ID window, it was as though someone had thrown a lifeline to a drowning man. "Hey, Pops, it's Scotty," he told me unnecessarily. "How are you doing?" Most of the time when people ask a question like that, it's rhetorical only. No one expects a real answer. And my reply was a long way from real. "Great," I said with as much heartiness as I could muster. "Couldn't be better." Which could not have been further from the truth. I was anything but great. I was at home alone at Mel's and my recently remodeled cliffside home on Bayside Road, in what real estate professionals like to refer to as Bellingham's historic Edgemoor neighborhood. The view outside our floor-to-ceiling, west-facing windows was gray. An unrelenting gray sea, and beneath a gray sky, and glimpsed through a gray fog of drizzle. Despite the pops of color our talented decorator Jim Hunt had installed here and there as furnishings and wall hangings, the mood inside the house was unremittingly gray as well. Mel Soames, my lovely wife, was hard at work at her relatively new job as chief of police in Bellingham, Washington, while I was stuck at home alone, trying to come to terms with the realities of retirement. I had done some occasional work for TLC, The Last Chance, a volunteer cold case unit that my friend and attorney Ralph Ames had hooked me up with. That included a case that I'd been able to help resolve that had come up just prior to Thanksgiving. The reality of TLC work is that it often involves plowing through old police reports, searching for something someone else has missed. The problem with plowing through police reports is that it's too much like, well, plowing through old police reports. Besides, what alternatives did I have? Golf has never been my thing. And there are only so many crossword puzzles you can do in the course of a week before you're ready to blow your brains out. As our neighbor up the street, Johannes Bodner, a guy who spent his formative years in the South African Defense Force, likes to say, I was not a happy chappy. The words clinically depressed hadn't yet surfaced in my consciousness, but they were lurking around the edges. How are things for you? I asked. So-so, Scott replied, which was probably a far more honest answer than mine had been. If you're in search of actual information, listening in on father-son conversations probably isn't the right place to go looking. Any chance you'll be coming into Seattle tomorrow? The truth of the matter is, I was free as a bird, no schedule to speak of, no mandatory meetings, no due dates on case reports. And I have to admit, the idea of having a chance to spend some one-on-one time with my son, when there wasn't a house full of holiday company, gladdened my heart. Driving 80-some miles one way to do it? No problem. But I didn't want to sound too eager. When it comes to father-son relations, being too eager is also bad news. Hadn't planned on it, I said cagily. Why? What's up? I'm having my wisdom teeth pulled, Scott answered. Because of the anesthetic, I'm required to have someone there to drive me home afterwards. The trouble is, when I made the appointment, I forgot that Charisse is in Vegas for the big consumer electronics convention this weekend. Still, it's not that big a deal. If it's not good for you, I can always run up the flag to Uber. The problem for me is that it really was that big a deal. I wasn't there on the day when Scotty Beaumont, age 6, bit into a Taco Bell burrito, lost his first tooth, and swallowed same. My first wife, Karen, was in charge of parental duties at the time, because when the initial lunchtime crisis happened, I was in Seattle, conveniently at work as a Seattle homicide cop. I wasn't home later on when the second part of the lost tooth incident occurred either. When Karen sat Scott down at the kitchen table and helped him pen a note to the Tooth Fairy, explaining how, although the tooth itself had gone AWOL, he hoped money would appear under his pillow all the same. It did, once again as a result of Karen's due diligence. By that time of day, night, really, I was done with actual work, but I had stopped off for a few stiff ones on the way home, with the ready excuse that I needed to have some decompression time between being a cop and being a husband and father.